セラサターンしろ。
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday.
Hey.
Shiro Show.
Yeah. Welcome on into the Shiro Show, everybody. Thanks for joining
Saturn
us.
Saturn Dave and Danthrax here. Trainer Co is going to be on his way, but he'll be joining us in audio, I guess, you know, because he's old school like that. No video.
Yeah.
The radio killed the video star, as they say.
I stole his seat since he's not here. He didn't make it in time.
Dan stole his seat. I hate it when people steal my daughter or my son
steal
my
steal
seat.
Steal my seat.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm coming up.
Emerald, mute your mic. There you go. Okay. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
And my boss is calling me right now. I'm like, why?
Oh,
what?
Perfect.
Did I have to have it? No, I'm not.
Oh, Wiener
that.
Bob, thank you for the $1.99 possible Snatcher stream fund if Pat returns. Yeah, here's the thing. Pat said he was going to stream Snatcher tonight. You know, his big pickup at the convention. Yeah, last week he said he was going to stream Snatcher. And, you know, he's not making it. So we may have to wait an extra week to see him play his beloved game.
Sometimes Pat just says stuff, and I think he forgets that he said it.
I get
it.
Yeah, well, that's what we have to hold him to it.
Yeah, you have to hold him to it. Then you got to make him feel really guilty when you don't. No, I'm just kidding. We love you, Pat. But we're giving you a hard time now while you're not here to defend yourself. Shouts to Wiener Bob. Thank you for that. Lee Benson, Captain Hodden, Moose Tracks, Neil Henderson, Paul Bort. Who else is here? Mr. Wodenstag, Dragons of Saturn. I'll get it one day. We got Christian Marte, Nathan Anderson, if I didn't say it already. Good game. Yo Hoy. GG. I think it's good game. David Zaney. What else? Con Artist, of course. Chronolay. And Sega Steve's here, hanging out with A Murder of Crows at the Washington State Gaming Expo. Rock on. We got Pierre Garou, Dan, you don't count, and then Cerulean.
I don't count. Jeez.
You're right there on the camera.
All right.
Okay. How's it going, everybody? So give us a like, give us a thumbs up. I hate to sound cliche, but at this point, anything helps. Because YouTube doesn't know exactly what's good, so so it helps us to handhold the algorithm. What have you been up to?
Hey, what's up, homies?
Hey, there's Pat.
Did you hear that? Did you
the
hear
voice
something?
Of
sorry,
Pat.
I'm a ghost.
I
was at a car accident.
Down,
and I'm haunted.
Down, Pat, turn down.
Turn what? Turn up.
Or just eat the mic, okay?
Eat the mic. Okay. Is this any better?
A little bit.
Is this a little bit too loud?
Yeah, just
Pat's
turn
totally
it way down. Okay.
Right now.
Yeah, give me a second. Sorry about that. I'll go.
New setup. Who does?
Okay, now you're way too low.
How about this?
Just a hair more.
How about this?
There you go.
Okay, coolio. Yeah, sorry.
We're always this professional, guys. For those who are new to us, yeah, we're always this professional, or not.
Well, actually, I have a story of why all my setup's in flux. Is it cool if I? Well, I'll wait for the update. We just did the intro, right?
We just did the intro.
Is it the
phone dork thing? Is it? You don't have a picture of it, right? Though.
I can get a picture of it. I have plenty of pictures of it.
How we put it up on the thing?
Let me go get that, but essentially...
You can describe it.
I'll put it in the Discord, but yeah,
nice.
Essentially, I'll tell the audience. So, right when Game On Expo was happening, I got a message from somebody, a certain guy named Phone Dork. If people don't know who he is, look up Phone Dork on YouTube or just BVM reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the first one. He reviews, like, the Framemeister and all these other, like, upscalers and stuff. He's really one of the guys that got me into it. And he sent a message to our group. We have a CRT collector group in Arizona. We have like a Facebook discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh yeah, selling. I'm going to sell my BVM for a certain amount of money. And I was like, oh wow. It's like that's
the 24 inch. The 24 inch.
So he was selling a BVM D24. So if you look up.
High definition,
BVM
right?
D24. Yeah. High definition.
It can handle 480p. It's widescreen. You know, Panzer Dragoon's Vi is going to look sick on that in widescreen mode.
It did. I tested it out.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Essentially, so the issue was that he was asking for a large amount of money. I don't know if he feels comfortable with me talking about it.
Because
it is a lot of money.
It was
but,
a lot.
It's more
than that copy of Snatcher, that's for sure.
it's in the quadruple digits. So one, two, three, four digits.
Wow.
Of amount of money I paid for it, but essentially he was like, Yeah, let me just get the money. I have a savings account that, like, this the same savings account I talked about on the show a while ago, where it's like, oh yeah, we have no PayPal, but I'm willing to finance Shiro out of my own pocket until we get the money if we
Nice. Shadowmask said that it also handles 720p and 1080i. Yeah, wow. Play some Gran Turismo nice 4 on that.
Yeah, but if you want to show it on the Discord, I put it on the. I mean, I think Dan's gonna be canceled out, but
yeah,
it's on
that's
the Discord.
Okay. Y'all don't need to see me.
The short. But yeah, anyways, I picked it up. I pretty much got the money. I sent it to him. He helped me load it into my brother's car that I borrowed, and I drove it all the way back to my house. And I got a new desk and did a whole new setup with it. Hmm. So it's now next to me, like right next to me. I don't know if you hear me slapping it.
Do you? Yeah, you can't believe it, can you? You sound excited.
I am. It's one of the best things I've ever gotten. Like, it's
cool.
I'm excited, it doesn't even belong to me.
Yeah. I feel bad.
It looks amazing.
I really wish I could have got the money. The thing is that it was a weird timing because he sent the message, like, right when Game On Expo was happening, and...
What?
Pat?
Did we
lose Pat?
And?
I think we lost Pat.
Talk about a cliffhanger. Okay, anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's beautiful. So it's beautiful. It's a phone dork. He takes good care of his stuff. So you can imagine it's in very good condition. I don't know how many hours are on it. But, yeah, he's got a 32-inch. So, needless to say, Pat has the 24-inch now. And it's pretty cool. Okay. So I'm just going to kick it over to you, Dan. What have you been up to this week? You said you had a pickup. I'm interested to hear about that.
Yeah, so it's not Saturn pickup, unfortunately. So
okay, that's okay. I'll allow it.
I will discuss it. It's another one of my weeby things. It's not an anime Blu-ray, but it is an anime game.
Is it pink?
No, there is some okay. pink in it. Okay. So right. there's a card game yeah. called Weisschwarz. Hey, Pat, I'm discussing my pickup real quick because we lost you.
Yeah,
if that's okay.
The moment has passed.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Like, I'll say my driver's died and I lost
volume
of
okay.
everything. Like, everything that's happening is like, okay.
Okay, we'll circle back. We'll circle back.
Where was I when I last cut off? I guess, long story short, I got the BVM. I loaded up. I got a new table and it's now sitting right next to me and I can enjoy all the goodness of Phantasy Star and all the other good games. So I'm very happy.
Pat, the look on Dan's face okay, right now. Fine. The look on Dan.
I'm why? Fine. I'm great, Dave.
He just steamrolled right over his weeby.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't even. The things that I
you
get
have
cross,
to laugh.
I didn't even know.
You have to laugh, Dan.
Okay. I didn't mean
Dan
to.
Is just super happy.
I feel bad.
For you.
Pat, I'm very happy for you, Pat.
I'm overjoyed for you, Pat. Yes. I am jealous also. I kind of want to kill you and take your monitor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna
the feast your eyes are taking in now.
I'll put it in my will for you, Dave.
Oh yeah, thank you. I'll be able to use it then because I mean, you know, I'll probably be underground.
If you come out for Game On Expo, we're gonna have a wing dig.
Are you gonna take it to Game On? You gonna take it to Game On?
Hell no! I'm not taking that. It'll be my
valuable.
Okay, that thing's 100 pounds, and I ain't risking breaking that.
Yeah, no,
that's gonna be a lot of money. But I do want to shout out to Phone Dork. He's actually a fan of ours. His name's Craig something. I don't want
to
dox him. But he's a big fan of ours. He's probably watching. Thank you again, Craig. Like I have to say that you are one of the biggest inspirations for me to do like get into the whole RGB scene. And you are probably a hero to me. I know that's cheesy and it's going to be kind
of
awkward.
Yeah. He's
but...
one of the OGs. Like he's one of the original dudes that like was on the Fudo's forums and like was shouting that stuff before like Retro RGB even existed. So anyway, But Dan's got some really cute pink weeby stuff to show us. So
it doesn't matter. No, the moment is past. Who cares?
No,
let's see it.
Come on.
Okay. All right.
Put it in the camera.
Pat might know how to pronounce this better than me. Have you heard of the trading card game Weisschwarz? It's basically like it's white black.
Weisschwarz.
Yeah, white black.
Nice.
So anyway, that's a Japanese trading card game, and they specialize in like coming out with expansion sets that are for different anime, sometimes video games, but it's usually anime. And so they did one of my favorite anime, Licorice Recoil, and this is the English one. It came out in Japan like a year ago, and I almost folded and like bought some and imported it, but I was like holding out. I was holding out to see if they would actually, can you see it?
In the back?
They would actually bring it out in English, and then they announced it. So I held out, and it just came out over the weekend. So that's Licorice Recoil. Yeah, a licorice is like a type of flower. I guess you frequently give licorice flowers in Japan at funerals. It's also called a spider lily. And it's kind of like the name of these two girls are in an organization. It's an organization of teenage girl assassins who keep the peace in Japan secretly, of course. I also got the trial deck, which is like a starter set.
As you do. You secretly keep the peace.
Right. Yeah. I had to get that. The first box I was holding up was the box of booster packs. I bought a whole box of booster packs, and now they're all sorted into a binder numerically. So I'm very happy. I got a ton of cards. I had a bunch of tax return money that was burning a hole in my pocket. So I spent it on part of it, not all of it. But I spent part of it on Weeby trading cards.
Why didn't you do a pack opening on Twitch or something like that? That would have been fun.
You should have done on the show, dude.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I didn't think anyone would care. I guess I've never done a live pack opening for everyone. I just kind of enjoyed it on my own. Yeah.
Actually, you know what? That's fair. About that. Hey, if you want next time, honestly, I want Dan shorts. Like, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
I want some Dan shorts for the Patreon stuff. Dan shorts would be a lot of fun. I want to see day in the life of Dan. I love Dan.
Okay.
Those sumo
Pudgy
oranges.
I have to say sorry, Pudgy. Like I'm
record
sorry,
a video of just
gonna...
me eating sumos.
Exactly. Review sumos. Yeah, Pudgy. I'm gonna have to send a marriage certificate to Dan now. So hopefully you don't mind. It'll be weird.
Cerulean asking about it. Yeah. They released. It's not a whole card game just for Licorice Recoil. It's an expansion of a card game called Vaishvars, which has its own rule set. But what's cool is each of their expansions is for like a different anime, but you can play them against each other and you can mix and match. Mm-hmm. So you can have characters from Sword Art Online play against characters from Licorice Recoil and against characters from Attack on Titan. I think they have an expansion for that. So yeah, that's it's neat. It just came out over the weekend. The thing is that we had to drive a long way to get there because it's not apparently, at least in this area, it's not a common company that is worked with, that's carried by a lot of the little card shops around here. Mm-hmm. So we had to drive like 45 minutes to get to a store that actually sold this. And what's cool is that the store that was selling it wasn't just like a little dingy card shop. It was a place called Sweets and Geeks. Mm. And their gimmick is that half the store is nerdy stuff that ranges from card games to board games to figures that are imported from Japan and stuffed animals and stuff from Japan. And then the other half is a candy store. Mm-hmm. And they specialize in having candy that like was more common like 50 years ago. And maybe somebody's still making it, but it's not like, you know, found at your local Walgreens anymore. So they'll have like this old fashioned candy, and they have a lot of candy and snacks imported from Japan and Korea and Canada. Mm-hmm. There were like, ketchup flavored Lay's and stuff. So yeah, we had to get a couple of Japanese like, you know,
treats.
Goodies from them too. Yeah, we got some lychee flavored, they called itself pudding. Lychee's a fruit, by the way, but it was more like Jell-O than anything, but it was really good. It's really good lychee pudding, and I forget what the other thing was. Oh yeah, I got like a that wasn't from Japan, but it was like a strawberry and dark chocolate Kit Kat, which is an American candy. But I hadn't seen it before. It was really good, very good.
Do you ever try the green tea one?
No, I've tried the mint Kit Kats, and I love those. So I had to try the.
Dan, if you and, Bunny ever make it to San Diego, I'm taking you guys to Kearney Mesa because
what's
Convoy.
That?
Well, like Japantown, basically, because there's several Japanese markets, including like a Sanrio store, and there's a store that just has like a bunch of Japanese figures. There's a Hard Off. Right. There's a book.
Oh,
off.
There's an actual legit Hard Off.
Oh yeah,
it was actually opened by my house.
Yeah, totally. There's a little market where you could just get like every Japanese snack and treat that you possibly, but like cool. The figure store, the one with the figures, you'd go nuts. I'm sure you'd want to bring some spending cash. They have a ton.
Oh,
of,
yeah, definitely.
They have a ton of like Evangelion models and like some almost
Evangelions.
Like Evangelion, like almost life size.
Evangelion. Mm.
Those things are like ridiculously expensive, but they have some smaller figures that are reasonably priced.
This store had a bunch of Evangelion stuff too, and they had a like life sized bust. Like waist up of Asuka, the redhead from Evangelion. It was like $750.
Yeah, they're not cheap with that stuff.
Ridiculous.
That stuff is so expensive, Mike.
I saw that though. I was like, man, Pat would love this.
Was it a bust of a bust? If you know what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, I was gonna say phrasing.
Well, I mean, she was clothed in a plug suit, so honestly, don't get any wrong ideas.
Does that, count as clothed?
Yeah,
it was sort of.
Yeah,
technically.
Pat, you're still a little hot. On the audio,
sorry.
Pat.
I'll turn it down a little bit.
I'll be honest with you though, like Pat, the when I went to Pat's house, like all the Warhammer stuff that they have, like some of that stuff is like $2,000 for like
they had a whole big room devoted to Dungeons and Dragons at this place too. Man, there was so much stuff.
Hey,
it was a crazy store. Very cool.
Hey, to Sasquatch.
You actually see my Eva figure when you were? Because I had one on my PC tower.
Yeah, I saw your PC tower, and then I see you had. Yeah, you had a figure in there that was really, really cool in that room.
It was Asuka. She's on top of the.
I just want to say hi to Sasquatch, Pepetsu, Offy Matrix, Scotty Mo is here. I think I said hi to Moose Track before. Stone Man.
I might do something weird for
Neo
Zed. Sasquatch.
We got a bunch of new people in the thing. Games fan guy, the Sega guys is here. Probably James. It's definitely James because Dan is in Japan and I'm
Dan lucky
Driver
dog
is in Japan. I'm like so jealous. I hope he has fun. Captain Hawden and Jiggle 85. Hey guys, how's it going? I got to pick up. Can I show you guys?
Hey, real quick before you do that, Dave, let me tell my little story about how somebody asked about like
Dan, your time has passed.
No, I'm two minutes. So Bunny and I were at a
stream is going downhill fast.
A craft store or something like that.
The Tales of Saturn.
And I was wearing my black Shiro hoodie, and the cashier who was checking us out, he was like looking at me kind of weird, and I was like, take care. And he goes, hey, what's on your shirt? You know, I'm like, oh well, this is a Sega Saturn. It's an old video game console from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh. And I said, yeah, so Shiro is like a fan website mm-hmm. and it talks about like news and stuff because people, you know, make homebrew games and stuff for it. And I write for the site and we've got like a YouTube show and everything. So I was like, kind of tell him about Shiro a little bit. And he was like, mm-hmm. oh, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. So I don't know if he did, if he's in the chat, you know, if he wants to identify himself,
awesome.
By all means. Yeah, that'd be cool. But yeah, that was neat. Like that was the first time I've worn a Shiro shirt out and someone actually asked me about it, so nice. That was kind of fun.
I got back to San Diego airport from Game On, I was wearing my Kohl's Saturn shirt, so it just says Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
It has a logo and and one of the airline pilots who was like, you know, hauling his you know, carry-on luggage, you know, across and he was wearing a pilot outfit. He was like, Sega Saturn, way to go. I was just like, nice.
Nice.
Maybe he was like the pilot from the original commercial. No, I'm just kidding. La Zona Blanca. No, but I mean, that's kind of cool. It was like the first time that I've actually had, because I've worn that shirt everywhere and nobody says anything. You know, if anything, they'd be like, Sega Saturn, that sucks.
What a nerd.
No, this guy would like point at me and he like winked his eye. He's like, Sega Saturn, way to go.
Nice. He winked at you. Wow.
Yeah, he kind of winked and pointed and he's like, Saturn.
I think he might try to hit you up in the bathroom later.
Right.
Yeah.
From Retro RGB. From Bob.
Oh, okay.
I blanked it out so folks can't see. I haven't written an article about this because I'm opening it up right now.
Wait,
so
actually, does mine get shipped too? I can. I'm not on camera. Never
you're
mind.
You're not on camera,
I'm
so but you
I
can
forgot,
go check,
I'm on
Pat. Okay, so
I'll
this
check
came.
Later.
This came and actually, this is part. This is part one of potentially part two because Pat and I ordered something else to go with this. But essentially, so there's this new company. Well, actually, it's RGR, so Retro Game
Reviews
Restore. Retro Game Restore. Martin is the name of the dude who owns the store, Retro Game Restore. And this J&T Studio is a company that is now making molded, injection molded cart shells, okay?
Okay.
So this is, Yeah, they look like COVID. You know, Scotty Mo said these are. Who said it? They look like COVID tests. They totally do. That's funny.
Same shape of the box,
but
I guess.
No, essentially, so it, for $20, I think that $19.99, it's a very simple, and I don't know if that's shipped, $20 shipped, or if there's an extra shipping charge, but essentially, I gotta check on that. See, if I write about it, I will definitely let you guys know.
Sure.
But the reason why I wanted one of these is because A, I didn't want to buy it from AliExpress and have it like be kind of questionable quality. I don't know. Sight unseen, I don't know. This is very, I was told this is a very quality injection molded case. And then on top of that, and you get the screws that it comes with, I ordered a Saru cart. Okay, and the reason
I finally bit the bullet,
and there's a reason why. I guess you could say this is like a public service announcement, because I finally got a hold of TPU, and I finally found out that he officially has no plans of going forward with the board revision that he was very publicly said he was.
Yeah. So the type of hardware that's being manufactured by and sold by people on AliExpress right now, that's pretty much the design that's going to be used for the Saru.
Yes and no. And there's a caveat. So, short answer, yes. Long answer, no. Okay. So essentially, the plan was to use a different FPGA because of the semiconductor shortage. Okay.
Right.
Now that is not nearly as much of an issue, all of a sudden, like there's been a lot of restock, and it's just not as hard. All the parts that were on his bomb are not as hard to get a hold of. So, and that's evident by all of the AliExpress, factories or whatever, or really vendors. There's small vendor, AliExpress vendors, just like chomping
independent.
And putting out their own versions of it on AliExpress. Mm-hmm. And if you go on AliExpress right now and you look up Saru card or whatever, it's a variable minefield, of options and potential risk. We've talked about that before.
Potential console killer 9000.
Here's the reason why, though, because aside from the typical, my daughter's coming out right now, which is a big no-no, but Jenny, go back inside. Okay. Go watch Pokemon.
Get inside.
Aside from the typical like sketchy quality, there's also the issue of a lot of these vendors using secondhand chips that they've pulled from other boards, like other devices and stuff like that.
Right.
And that's what I was told to like steer clear of. Be very careful what vendor you use, because you could be getting parts of questionable quality. So the one vendor that is recommended is the
ITPU,
Retro Game Paradise, the Retro Game Paradise store, and it's about $87 after tax and shipping. It ends up being about a little over $100, like $105.
It's pricier because they're using all new parts instead of the secondhand stuff.
They're using all new parts. Yeah. So you're going to find cheaper boards on AliExpress. You are, but there's a very good chance that you're going to be getting chips that were pulled from other like e-waste. They've scrubbed the information off, of the labels of those chips. And then on top of that, you got the issue of possible board edge connectors not being beveled properly.
Yeah.
You've also got the issue of custom firmware.
Just a fake one.
So TPU told me that the current firmware is 3.1, I believe it was. And anything that says it's like 3.3 or even 3.6, there are some crazy firmware versions out there. He said those are heavily modified by the individual vendor, and who knows?
It's like a fork of the firmware.
It's like a fork of the firmware, and it's probably to fix something that they did wrong anyway. Because you remember you were saying that some of them were bricking, like the KDD ones or whatever,
right?
Were bricking the cart, and then you couldn't update it. Yeah. So if you really want to be safe, I don't want to be going on record with an endorsement that's going to lead to folks getting something bad, but I am going to try it out, put my money where my mouth is, try it out, and then write about it and let you guys know, because then I can tell you for sure. In the meantime, I would love to get it in my wife's hands, the board itself, so she could look at it, take it to work, look at it and see what we could price it at and see if we could, you know, because I don't think we're going to, there's any way we're going to beat, you know, Chinese manufacturing, you know, Chinese labor
right.
in California. We're not going to be doing that.
I mean, we could probably
but the shipping slave costs. Labor.
There's the shipping costs. There, I mean, what? It was only like $5 to ship.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good.
It wasn't that bad. But we'll
bad,
see.
But...
Yeah, we'll see. I might just
but
end
I'm
up
excited.
Wrecking. Yeah, I'm excited to. This is not coming apart too easily. There's no screws.
You need to like break it. Actually, this is a Bob. We're having an on-air stress test. I'm gonna get mine with a hammer. I'll be right back.
There might be
a screw in the back.
There's no screws in the back because the screws are actually separate right here. But anyway, essentially, these carts will be available in the U.S. I believe, for the record, I do believe that Martin from Retro Game Restore is also looking to make "quote unquote" quality Saru carts using a factory in Taiwan that he has connections with. But I mean, by quality, I suppose there'd be more oversight. I guess they'd be shipping it to his store, RGR, and then they would be doing quality assurance and testing everything and making sure that they're shipping out quality carts that folks can trust.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's important. Like, that's the reason why it's been taking so long for us to buy it.
Yeah, because we didn't. I didn't want to buy something that was just going to be updated. Junk. And succeeded by another hardware. But as soon as he told me that, he's like, yeah, as it is right now, there any plans to put out a hardware revision have been scrapped. So what you get right now is the schematic right now is what it is. And I will say
Dave,
this.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead. What?
So this molded or injection molded plastic casing. Is the primary purpose for that supposed to be for the Saru, or are they trying to market it also to like replacing SafeCart? What's the primary?
Right. I mean, while it hasn't been stated that it's for the Saru cart, I'm gonna guess that that's the primary reason.
But you could use it for anything,
it says,
right?
Feature compatible with original Sega Saturn expansion RAM cartridge, most Saru SD boards. And the plastic shell has been reserved SD card slot. So yeah, you have an SD card slot right at the top where it's supposed to go. You could use this to make your. I'll be honest with you. Some of those action replays and some of those pseudo carts are kind of ugly. So I mean, I like this. The this is cool kind of look. If you have a this is cool Saturn and you have the control and everything.
Dave, that's not the prototype one. That's the actual model one, right? Because I know he sent us two.
This is exactly what it's going to look like.
That's the non-prototype one. Okay.
This is the final thing, you know? The only issue I'm having is trying to pull this thing apart without breaking it.
Had me open it up. He knows my strength with CRTs.
Well, no, I'm like, I'm like going to, cause at the top it's like attached with clips and I'm going to have to do this off air when I'm like, probably going to need a spudger or something like that. But hey, at least I can tell you right now that it's pretty secure once it's put together. It's a strong piece of kit and it's very well built. It has kind of the same finish, I would say, as like, yeah, so that's cool. I'm going to make like a custom Shiro sticker for mine. And
I was going to say, cool. that's a good, I'll give you money.
Yeah. There's a good question in chat. What is the cart actually called? Do you want to go out and look?
Yeah.
So,
and I don't know if he's selling it yet, but the Retro RGB just did an article on it on their website where you can get more information. It's the JNT Studio Sega Saturn Extended RAM Cartridge Plastic Shell. JNT Studio Sega Saturn Extended RAM Cartridge Plastic Shell. Funny thing is,
so the name implies that the intended market is to replace the casing on the RAM carts.
That's what it. Yeah, and I'm guessing it's mostly like a cosmetic thing for people that want to have, you know, with because the trend now is like all of these translucent Saturn console shells. Yeah. So it's like here's the interesting thing though. It almost seems like even though JNT Studio is the one making it, they have the RGR Retro Game Restore logo on it, so I guess it's exclusively being sold through Martin's store. So that's interesting. That's distribution right there. So maybe he has the ability to manufacture them, but he didn't figure out distribution, so he's doing it kind of like how Crix does a lot of distribution through Stone Age Gamer and stuff. So it's interesting.
I pushed that batch the Snatch stream to next week. Mm-hmm. It just was kind of a weird week. I had to meet up with a coworker today.
So if folks are feeling, you know, like they want to take a chance, at least I know TPU recommends the Retro Game Paradise Shop on AliExpress.
Okay.
And there's two of them. So one of them might be a clone shop. It's called Retro Game Paradise Second Shop. Avoid that. Just go with the one that is like just Retro Game Paradise Store, because he said that even Chinese consumers are really familiar with that store, and they swear by it for stuff. Like, they say it's usually pretty good quality. So that's good.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's not something I could say before, because I didn't want to tell anybody the wrong thing. I know that this is, we have a platform here. And if I just like publicly say, oh yeah, go get yourself a Saru, and then everybody's like getting their carts bricked, or it just ends up another device ends up being put out, a lot of people are going to feel burnt on that. But I can tell you right now that it is what it, you know, it's where it should be. Knight asks me a question about why does my wife need the board when it's all open source? She doesn't. I'm gonna have her bring it to her work anyway, and just talk with the guys, because again, like, it would help to have a sample to actually show the boss. She doesn't. No, it's true. She could just go off the schematic, and she did say, Knight, because Knight and I were talking about this like a year ago, is that the BGA part is really the sticking point. They do have an oven that could do it, but there's a very good chance that there would be several failures, you know, and that's too much of a risk. So she'd have to probably send away to a PC, you know, to probably send away to have it done better.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving right along, I am going to bring up the browser and have Dan talk about an article while I go talk to my 5-year-old who's like,
Daddy. Hey, deal with Junie.
Daddy. Okay. Yes. Like, I don't know if you can hear her in the background, but she keeps saying, okay, you can. Where should we go? Which one should we start with?
I think our only three are going to be the Parodius Best of Saturn.
Okay.
And then my couple of
stories
that I put up
today. Go ahead and talk about Parodius for a bit.
I
would love to. I'm a big Parodius fan. I don't know if I played Parodius, so Peter's Best of Saturn feature this week is on Parodius, and he says Konami's Parodius saw Saturn release in Japan and in Europe in late 1995. A planned North American release was ultimately canceled. A side-scrolling shmup consisting of two older Parodius games meant to parody Konami's own Gradius and other franchises. These colorful and fast games don't take themselves overly seriously, but are fun and challenging in their own right. I guess he's got a few screenshots in there. I guess we get to see one of them on screen.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about it.
Go ahead, Pat.
Have you played Parodius at all, Dan?
No, I don't think I have. I've played like Konami's Twinbee. The Twinbee. It's game, like the double pack that's on Saturn. It's like a Twinbee Yahoo or whatever. Yeah, I played that. But I don't think that I've ever tried out Parodius. Which, Parodius, you know, it's cool really that Europe got Parodius. And we almost did here in America, but then we didn't.
Yeah. Pandemonium actually covered it in one of his videos. He did a 0.5 in his series where he talked about Parodius because he's a big Parodius fan.
That was a good video. Just like all of his videos, really.
except one of them. Just joking. I love all of his videos as well. But yeah, the fun thing about this game is that I'm a big fan of Gradius. That's one of my all-time favorite shoot-em-ups. I'm the only one I'm really good at, to be honest. But it has a really fun mechanic. It adds the elements of Gradius, and of course with the name Parodius being a parody, you know, play on it. It's a lot of fun. My favorite hers has to be Sexy Parodius, to be honest.
Why would that be, Pat?
I just like the gameplay. It has a great story. There's a lot of pokies within the story.
You play it for the articles.
I played for the articles.
He plays it for the gameplay. Right.
Exactly. Oh, you're back, Dave.
It's one of the best versions of it. It's like it's a really fun game. I think it's really cute. The bosses, especially like the weird. I'm a big fan of the weird bosses. Like, that's why I like Game Tengoku a lot, because they're all weird bosses, weird things. Like, you're fighting a cat girl.
Yeah, I like that game.
Or a slot machine. But yeah, I really enjoyed this game a lot. It's one of my favorite shoot 'em ups, and you have a lot of really interesting characters you could play, like Vic Viper, of course. You're playing some custom characters. I think you can even play the Twin Bee
nice.
Thing from there. So cool. It's really good. Like, but yeah, have you played a lot? You haven't played a lot of this, though, right, Dan? Or have you played this at all?
Yeah, I don't think I've tried out Parodius yet. And Moostrack says that I'm sentenced to play Parodius. That's fair.
I'll have to. Yeah,
requisition a copy.
Well, at least watch.
Check it out.
At least watch Panda's video.
No, I have watched Panda's video.
Oh,
like
awesome.
I've certainly I've seen Parodius like gameplay,
but
I've
just haven't really gotten into it. Yeah,
I just have not actually like tried it out for myself with a controller in my hands. So
it's good. It's really good.
There's a lot of Saturn games out there. You know.
Yep.
You know,
there really are.
Still working my way through them.
Do you know? Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I was on was it Sega-Saturn.net. I don't know. Sega-Saturn.uk. There's another Sega Saturn fan site out there that has a ton of great content, collateral, and resources and stuff like that. And they also have like images of every Sega Saturn game, including the you know, I mean, I guess Satakure would be similar, but I mean, the way that they display it is a little different. And then you can click on the game and it has a nice description. And looking at some of the covers of the Japanese Saturn games, there's still ones that I am like, what? What is this? Like, I've gone through so many lots of Saturn games and like I've seen, I think I've seen everything. And then there's still a couple out there that I'm like, what is this? So there's some new ones recently that I'm gonna have to try, because there's always more stuff. Yeah, so
have you played Parodius, Dave?
I have, actually. I did a while back to. I did like a US long box reproduction of the game and a good friend.
I have that too.
Yeah, a good friend actually sent me the PAL manual, and so I could like scan it really nicely and everything like that, and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for my collection, and I had a lot of fun playing it. Yeah,
I think Dave sent me a copy of it for Christmas.
It's a very competent shooter series, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. Obviously, it's going to fall right in the middle in terms of shooters on Saturn, just because the Saturn has so many great shooters. But I mean. It's still like for a while it was like one of the more relatively affordable. I say relatively, but it was one of the more relatively affordable shooters, because like I say, some of the ones on Saturn are so high profile that Parodius often goes kind of overlooked. But yeah, it's cool. I like it. I agree with Pat. It's got the Gradius stuff, the Gradius mechanics, which are really cool.
I put a picture of the repro that Dave made me for Christmas, which thank you again.
I think you can
19,
even.
I think.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, you no, can, it was 21. Because
can
I
you
have
even throw pies? You can throw pies in Parodius, or in
yeah,
yeah
really.
So might be
yeah,
a
there's
bomb
like a,
thing.
Nice.
But yeah, anyway, fun game. Folks should definitely check it out. I agree that it belongs in the Best of Saturn moniker.
You should buy two copies. Actually, yes. It's not good.
And next up is new playable version of X-Men on Saturn, adds playable Storm 3-player co-op. You wrote this up today.
Yep.
Go ahead and tell us about it.
I did. Yeah. So, last week, we got an update to, Hot Rod X. Their effort to recreate the Konami, X-Men arcade game, on Saturn. It's not a port. They specify. I say they. I don't know if Hot Rod X is a he or she or whatever, but Hot Rod X has said this is not a port. They don't have access to any of the source code to X-Men. So it's a recreation. They've gotten a lot of help with ripping the sprites, the art assets from the original arcade game, which is from 1992. It's a beat 'em up. For those who don't know, it's a pretty cool game. And Hot Rod X is slowly but surely recreating that game for the Saturn, which is really neat. And so they first came out with a version of it, the 0.1 version, back in January, like just after the beginning of the year. And we covered that. And just last week, they put out a 0.2 version. Mm-hmm. And in the 0.2 version, which you can download from a Mega NZ link, which we do link in our story, but it was originally published in a YouTube video that Hot Rod X put out on their YouTube channel, showing off what's new in the update. But what the update has is a new selectable character, Storm. Originally, there were just two selectable characters, Cyclops and Wolverine. So now you can play Storms well. That's super cool. And they added in 3-player co-op. You can join anytime, just like you're playing an arcade game. And then they also added a second stage, second playable stage, the Sentinel Factory, some additional enemy types, and what they term on-screen mayhem, including lots of sprites and explosions. So I guess they've kind of upped the ante on what they're able to show on screen at once.
That multiple explosions without it being laggy is kind of weird for me to see. Usually when I see a bunch of explosions in a pixel game, it's usually lagging the entire screen up. But that was 60-frame explosion. That looked too weird to me.
Yeah, it's just too good.
Honestly, it's like I feel this seems like it's not right. Like the explosion should be like lagging the Saturn up. Like I don't know, it looks too smooth.
The way they implement the sprites will have a lot to do with how fast you can do stuff, or how much stuff you can fit in memory, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to speculate as to how stuff is happening. I would like a chance to interview this guy myself, if only to impress upon them that, hey, you should submit this for the 30th. But also...
It might be a big issue with that.
Well, they talk in the SGDK Discord server, the Sega Genesis development kit. Server, so you can probably find them there because that's where they originally released the 0.1 version of this homebrew.
Oh no! So this is a Sega Genesis?
No, it's Saturn. Okay. But he posted it in a Sega Genesis development kit server. Strangely,
it's like a lot of Sat. Yeah, they don't. A lot of folks don't know, I guess, that are out there like doing coding and stuff like on Sat. They don't know to go to Sega Extreme, I guess, or like that.
Yeah,
you know, I was talking to Emerald about that a little while ago. You know, like it's. We need to like reach out to more communities and try to like, you know, get folks to be talking.
SGDK people into SX. We want to get the Dreamcast, Callisto, whatever.
Can I also just point out?
Yeah, since Sega Extreme is about all the Sega consoles.
For folks watching the video of this right now, can I just point out these true transparency shadows on the ground?
Yeah.
You know, so that's nice. Yeah, exactly.
No,
so
is that true transparency or is it very intelligently? Yeah, that is. Oh, okay.
No, You're very excited.
It's harder to see here on the opaque ground, but watch this on the asphalt right here. I had it in 480p.
On the white strip, you can tell.
You could see right here, like it's just the character, but it's like warped, you know, made transparent, single color. But yeah, that's true transparency on the Saturn. So. For all the naysayers, not that anybody's still making
of course
that argument.
It's doable if you're prodigious with it, but the way they're doing it feels very difficult because they're overlapping sprites, and I'm not sure exactly how I would go around doing that.
James is like, new X-Men build? There goes my early night. You know, I'll be honest with you, this is very promising, too, to see this kind of progress update, because when something like that comes out, the first thing I do is kind of skeptically feel like, okay, well, we'll see if this ends up just being kind of like a little demo. You know, proof of concept, or if they're actually going to like finish it. And I mean, like if they put in this much work, I can't see them not finishing it, you know?
Yeah. So, and here we have an update, you know, just a couple months later after the first.
So I mean, what they've got here is running really well, and that's super exciting. I think, so this is just incredible. I'm loving it.
Yeah. I wanted to say that in the our Discord server in the Shiro Insider channel, Gnarls, one of our Patreon patrons, said that they actually did try out the 3-player mode, the 3-player co-op for this, using a multi-tap, of course, is what you would have to do with Saturn. And he tried it out with his kids and said that it was great. Said, it's shocking how good it plays for being developed without access to any of the original source code. Sorry. Feels very true to the original.
Honestly, not having access to the original source code is probably to its benefit. The homebrew community does stuff now is probably a lot better than what they were going to end up doing on short notice back
then. That's true.
But no, I'm just
thanks for
Gnarls for
letting us know about that.
I wonder how far they're going to go with that though. If they're going to do the full, you know, eight player thing, or is this going to be a 3-player game like on the Saturn?
It's
probably only 3-player co-op right now because he only has 3 playable characters. Like, he's probably gonna be able to do all of it.
Saturn could easily handle all of it, all the sprites, you know. It's just really a matter of them just doing it. So I'll be honest,
he adds a red screen mode.
The time
I would like to know Is the goal to do a one-to-one recreation of the original version?
I think
or do
so.
They want to expand on it.
They haven't said anything about expanding on it. So, right. But that's something you could ask them if you get in touch with them. Absolutely.
But yeah, the timing on this couldn't be better considering all of the X-Men stuff that's just gone up on.
He said that in his. He said that he kind of timed it.
Okay, yeah.
And there's some kind of an Easter egg related to the X-Men 97 animated series that just came out on Disney Plus. I don't know what the Easter egg is. I didn't notice it when I was checking it out.
If you have enough buttons, it plays the entirety of it on VCD.
That would be cool.
No, that'd be funny.
The deluxe cab was 6-player though. So with a 6-player multi-tap, you could get, you know, 6 players going with this, and it would be kind of like, I mean, like Shredder's Revenge, which came out in recent years,
like a year ago.
That was 6-player as well.
Yeah.
And that, you know, funny enough, like just last night, with my 5-year-old, we played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Digital Eclipse version, you know, on the Switch, and we beat it like together. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, like, and she's gotten so much better with her hand dexterity. So yeah, we spent like an hour, a solid hour, maybe a little less, maybe, I don't know. And we went through the entire thing and played it. So like this will be rad. This will be rad. I definitely want to get my kids. She's 5. She's 5. She's in kindergarten, but I mean, she's, we're schooling her, you know, on the games and stuff. Like, she plays Smash with my 10-year-old, and he, you know, she chooses Jigglypuff.
So I mean,
actually, that's funny enough. That's my main, actually, in Smash.
Jigglypuff.
Yeah, I main Jigglypuff.
Yeah, she chooses it very unironically because she thinks it's cute, you know.
Yeah, but, I do it because I like her floatiness and it's fun. Like, I actually, I really regret not bringing my Smash controller to Game On Expo. I had my game controller that Dave showed me, and he's like, I kind of regret not bringing that to there, but I just didn't have time. I was too tired and busy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it goes without saying, but nobody freaking tell Disney about what's going on until they're done.
Right.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing I saw here.
Yeah. Well, between this and Frog Bowl's Star Wars game, you know, it's like
we're tempting fate.
You don't want the cease and desists.
Yeah.
Also, I need to ask Captain David Zaney about the Mad Stalker game. Was that a port of this 68,000 game, or is that like a new game with that? You just messaged me off stream, just PM me on Discord, David. Just wanted to question that. But
he said the 68,000 version.
Okay, yeah. But you know, that's pretty cool. But yeah, I really hope, I really should goes to Saturn as well. But yeah, honestly, I'm really excited for this. I hope it's up to 6-player. That'd be cool if they can make it widescreen mode, and I can put it on my BVM. That'd be a lot of fun.
But you want every game to be widescreen.
I think if you have
3 players, you're going to need widescreen mode for this.
Widescreen. You would. But I mean, doable. We'll see.
Everyone has a Framemeister nowadays, upscaler, so it shouldn't be too bad to get that to a flat. I mean, a lot of people.
Some of us are rolling with an original CRT.
I have a PC CRT, but I can like change the aspect ratio if I want. You know,
oh, nice.
I dev on a Trinitron.
I do like it. I actually do like. I actually want to see that in person. That's probably sick.
You should. I have got two of them side by side, and one does like all the PlayStation and Wii stuff, and then the other one does like all of the 5th-gen consoles. It's rad. Only thing I don't like is the couch that I'm sitting on right now. It just hurts my ass. I got to get a better.
What do you mean? This is a wonderful couch, the Shiro couch.
Right? Yeah, the leather couch, the virtual leather couch.
Pat's butt print over here on this side of the couch.
Exactly.
No, every time I get up from Shiro Show, I'm always like, ah.
I know. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Sitting here for a couple hours does kind of end up.
You guys got to get on the Herman Miller chairs. I got a Mira from my work, and it's like amazing.
Captain Hodden says, "Sit on your Saturn pillow." Never. In fact, I get upset. I get upset when my kids come out here and they're playing games and they're sitting on the Saturn pillow. I'm like, would I sit on your Squishmallow? No. So don't sit on my Saturn.
Get your butt off of it.
Pillow is meant to be squished on.
Yes, but I want to keep it. I want to keep it nice and fluffy.
Anyway.
But Dan's enjoying my fart. my fart space. So hopefully
yeah, I wondered what that smell was.
Yeah, frog bowl. Sorry about that.
Okay. Gross. Next up is RetroTINK 4K upscaler gets Saturn auto sampling support a couple months yes. ago, but we're writing about it now thanks to Dan.
You know, better late than never, I guess.
Yes, Pat was supposed to write about this.
Look, I wasn't going to call him out publicly. I was going to say the Shiro Media
under
Group
the bus. I will throw it
meant to write about this.
Pat meant to write about it, but I didn't know what to say about it, so.
Well, you just talked about it.
You don't have a 4K, right? You don't have a TINK 4K,
I don't.
Right?
I don't have 800. I dropped a quadruple digits on a BVM. I can't
Seriously?
Afford a 4K.
Pat can't right. afford a 4K because he spent like three times that on a BVM.
I'm pretty Listen, sure Pat can sacrifices. Afford anything at this point. He's the king yeah. of Arizona.
I don't understand why you paid cash for the BVM instead of just trying to barter for two or three Saturn games in box.
Because I have to.
Yeah, Fondor, I don't know if Fondork is a fan, or I don't know. Yeah,
he's getting maybe. Rid of. No, he's a big Saturn fan, but he's getting rid of his stuff.
But he does like Mister, right? He does mostly does like Mister, right?
Oopity and me. Oh, I'm dumb.
Let's have Dan talk about this article.
Anyway,
so
the RetroTINK.
Anyways. Okay.
So, Saturn gameplay got a little prettier for those who are playing their Saturns on a RetroTINK 4K video upscaler. Because last month a new firmware came out that adds automatically detects the resolution of games output. So RetroTINK creator Mike Chi announced that a new update was available that, among other things, adds auto sampling support for the Sega Saturn. The latest firmware can be found on RetroTINK's GitHub. We, of course, have a link to that in our story on our website.
RetroTINKy.
SegaSaturnShiro.com. And after installing it, you have to install the Saturn profiles, which you can download from Wobbling Pixels' Google Drive. Now, Wobbling Pixels is the person who made this all possible. I believe that they work on different RetroTINK profiles that people can load up on the RetroTINK to make it, I guess, work with different resolutions and kind of like auto-detects them. And we'll switch your RetroTINK to showing... that to syncing up with that resolution. So, we're watching the video right now that Wobbling Pixels made. It shows off their work and also gives you a tutorial toward the end on installing and using these profiles. Mm-hmm. In the video, Wobbling Pixels explained that of the three profiles, the one called the main profile covers the most common resolutions that Saturn games output. They estimate that 90% of the North American NTSC and PAL libraries are covered by the main profile.
So like to remind everyone
it's recommended that,
Saturn...
that you it's oh, recommended sorry. That you make that your first choice. Go ahead, Emerald.
Yeah, the Saturn has like more than a dozen different possible resolutions and
true.
Yes.
And yes.
display methods.
So it's, that's it's why there are trivial... three different profiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. not trivial. Right. This is probably took a lot of work. That's probably why right. it took a while for this actually to come out. So the secondary profile covers the main profile's resolutions as well as two more, the 352 by 480i resolution and the 704 by 240p resolution, which are higher resolutions that a few popular games like Virtua Fighter Remix and Die Hard Arcade use. And then lastly, the tertiary profile covers games outputting in 640 resolution only. True Pinball and 3D Baseball are two such games.
True Pinball, baby.
Yeah, and these profiles are not compatible with older versions of the RetroTINK 4K firmware. You have to update to the newest firmware to use it. Well, newest as of the time that this came out back in early February. There have been a couple updates since then. I imagine those are compatible with these Saturn profiles too. But yeah, you can get those Saturn profiles. We link to them in our story. They are available from Wobbling Pixels Google Drive, and he also links to them in his own YouTube video and on his X, formerly Twitter, profile. So, yeah, if you use a RetroTINK 4K, your Saturn games are going to work a lot better with these profiles and this new firmware. It's just super cool.
Don't, Dave. I saw what you were doing, Dave.
What are you doing over there, Dave? I'm over here talking to the camera. I'm looking at an article. I don't see what you're doing on the YouTube video.
I'm just
zooming
messing.
In on my face or something.
I'm messing with you.
Maybe.
Okay, no, it's okay. I'm not. I promise I won't.
That's okay. My job, Dave.
That's a Pat shtick. It's a Pat shtick. So, what do you guys do? You guys don't have a RetroTINK, do you? Well, no, Pat said he has a 2K.
Yeah.
I use the original
BRT Master Race. No, I'm just kidding. I just don't have to worry about it. Yeah, like I don't have to worry about any of this stuff that like honestly hurts my brain to think about. I'm just like put it on a really nice looking CRT and just forget it.
Yeah, but, I didn't even realize that. I think I'm the only one in Shiro that has a. Oh no, Panda has a 5X.
Oh,
Panda both have 5Xs.
Oh, Ben has a 5X. Okay. Panda,
yeah, Ben does
Ben,
too.
Yeah, like and when Pat brought his 5X to. Was a PRGE and we were in the hotel room and he put it on like the hotel room LCD or whatever OLED. I don't know. There were some issues.
Nathan Anderson says in chat that the latest Tink 4K firmware release comes with the Wobbling Pixel profiles in it. Okay,
oh, nice.
Thanks. I didn't realize that because Wobbling Pixels have been saying on Twitter that you have to download the firmware and then you have to go download my profiles. And pop those on there. So it kind of gave me the impression that it didn't come with them. So that's good to know. There you go.
Yeah.
I think with us though, for our uses, because we mostly do streams and stuff, it's like capturing what we have, like what we have is fine. Like if I had a 4K, I don't know how much better it would be unless we're actually making videos like on the regular.
Right. Yeah.
Because like we're literally just shrinking it down to a little square thing for the CRT look.
Yeah.
So really, and it comes down to, is it really... really worth it to invest? Like even Dave's case, he's been rocking his stuff since what Shiro began, and it looks as good, if not better, than mine.
I'm gonna be honest with you, like my streaming capture is my capture solution is super jank, like it's old, and yet somehow I'm able to get it to work enough.
If it works, it works.
Like I need to upgrade it for sure, but like I'm streaming, like I'm capturing a line doubled image, like 640 by 480, right? VESA. Yep. And then I'm doing interpolate. Then I'm doing like bilinear doubling on that, like on the computer side. And then I use some kind of like sharpening thing in OBS so that it looks pretty good. But I mean, like, honestly, I need to upgrade my streaming setup, but nobody's complaining, you know, like it does. Like I can stream in 1080p and it still looks pretty good. So,
sure.
Yeah, at some point I need to upgrade it, but I've just been getting, as long as it works, I'm like, why fix it if it's not broken? But
exactly, but. I'm the same way. It's like the things that I could upgrade, like I'm still using like an Elgato into a 4K, and it's like it works and no one notices, so it's like why.
Well, maybe they notice and they just don't say anything. I don't know.
They're just being polite.
Yeah, but I mean,
no one's ever complained.
Yeah. Sometimes I do see, though, sometimes I do notice a little bit of color banding when there's a lot of noise. So, like, when there's a lot of, like, radio frequency noise, which, I mean, let's be honest, there's a bunch of that just flying around our heads these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have shielded cables, but you can only do so much with so much noise, you know? So, sometimes
it's
I see that.
After all.
Yeah, sometimes I see that come through in my streams. I can mitigate it to some degree. And some streams are better and some streams are worse. It really just depends on probably like the time of day and how much frequency noise there is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's
Frog
cool though.
Frogbolt says in chat that the only problem in YouTube with YouTube compression in 1080p is that it's way worse now than it was before. So
really?
Maybe they're kind of cheaping out on their
1080p. Yes, it's because they're not prioritizing it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not prioritizing it. They're totally prioritizing 4K and up. You know,
4K.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Great, good point.
Yeah, part of me wonders if we should just change our scene to be a 4K one, but it's like I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the thing
you
is
have
that
a
is anybody?
That?
I technically do if I could get my thing. My internet.
I have a
now,
gigabyte but... up. Believe it or not.
Oh wow! Jeez. Okay.
Nice.
No, but
yeah.
But yeah, that'll do.
But yeah, like
do
I said.
It.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. As viewers, is there like a, like viewers, let us know. Is 1080p not working for us anymore? Do you guys want us to go 4K? Like, I mean, we could easily make a set that's 4K or stretch it, but I'm just just curious if it's needed. Like, is anybody like bothered?
We'll need new cameras because our cameras are like I'm using the Kaio Pro, which is like the old the 1080p cam from Razer. I would need to get the 4K camera to like you know, and at that point I might just get a mirrorless DSLR or something like that.
Yeah, the thing is that it doesn't have to be like the camera's gonna be 1080p. We just make the set 4K.
True. David like, Zane says, what about 2K? Because there is that like medium resolution.
But 1440?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think at that point, if we're already doing 1440, you might as well just go to 4K at that point.
We're doing shop talk.
That's just me.
Like just out in the open. Like we're just, you know, like let's put a, user
what?
Poll.
That
tell
matter.
Us what to do. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
but seriously, why don't though, you? Yeah, just capture the whole show, put it through a RetroTINK 5X or 5.
RetroTINK
4K, and have it post-process the show for you.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll look great.
That'll look great.
Put some interlacing on your face.
But we'll talk about that later. That's another
interlace. I'm
going to
interlace.
So that's
your
the
face.
RetroTINK, everybody. That's our Saturn news for this week.
Saturn news.
Satan news. I do want to shout. I do want to do one shout, and that is brain fart. Hold on a second.
It's
need to go.
Is it Shadow Mask? Because Shadow Mask is going to be showing Ghostbusters on
actually.
Twitch channel
that's no. Yeah,
everybody
that's,
watch that.
That is a great. That's a great point. I missed that. I think last stream I forgot to plug that. But yeah, so yeah. Shadow Mask. He's doing it in the Shiro Discord server.
Well, no, he has a Twitch channel.
What?
No, he's doing Ghostbusters. He announced that yesterday.
Ghostbusters, and where is he streaming it? I just want to be sure.
On his Twitch channel.
On his Twitch.
He has a new one.
Okay.
Oh, sweet.
So
I think it's Shadowbot. Shadowbot 87, something like that. So
can he put that link in the description so folks can?
Yeah, link it. Shadow.
He's a mod, so he can link it.
Just put the link in there, and I'll pin it. Whatever.
But no, I also wanted to shout the Sega guys who are good friends of us and they're also financial supporters of us. $10 supporters of Shiro. So they're insiders, but they've also donated their content to our insiders as an extra perk, you know. So giving folks who are Shiro insiders more value for their support. So if you guys, the most recent podcast that they did with Mel was a fantastic discussion about Sega's legacy and also just kind of about like how they've, one thing they mentioned is that it's just like, there are like these listicles out there that don't even have any Sega games on them. And it's really sad because younger...
Like top 100 best video games.
The modern
and
there's
press, no Sega games.
Yeah, because the modern press is just getting younger and younger. You know, it's like Zoomers basically and younger even. And they don't, they've never experienced a Sega game because they didn't grow
Synth
up with
needs
it.
To start our resident young person in the server, Synth. Yeah. He needs to get start into writing about video games so he can pump out some Saturn.
And it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy just because, you know, like to have a top 100 games of all time list and not even have a single Sega game, or to have a list that's like top 100 somewhere. And it's like, okay, you have an obligatory Sonic game on there, which Sonic is great. But like, I think a lot of us would agree that it maybe isn't like the best, maybe the best Sega game of all time. It might be some of our favorites, you know, but it's like, there's
maybe if you average them, but definitely, there's a handful that will peak on the list.
Well, like there was one list there. What was it? GQ, where they were talking about how, there was Sonic 2 and there was Shenmue, and then their blurbs about the games were written like they didn't even play the games. Like they were just like, we recognize how people will kill us if we don't, you know, put these games on the list.
Wow.
I remember seeing that.
And it was just like, come on. Like,
it's almost insulting.
It's almost insulting.
To do it at all.
Yeah, to do it at all. So is, and I realize that's GQ. It's not a gaming focused thing, but it is like a popular publication for men. And it's like, I just don't get it. Like, I just don't. So, I mean, I think that as these games are being written about by younger and younger audiences, and then of course like folks who just grew up with Nintendo, like it's true. You listen
people
to like
whose
retro
first games were Candy Crush.
You listen to Retronauts for the longest time, and I really respect Retronauts. I do, but there's such a Nintendo bias, and it's almost like they can't help it. Like they grew up with Nintendo for the most part, and
that's
it's like
what they know.
They have to get folks on from the UK to even talk about Sega, you know?
No, brother.
And it's just. It's tough, you know.
No, you need to get people in from Brazil, like talking nonstop about the Master System and the Genesis.
Yeah,
but I mean that's where I'm like, I do have respect for Jeremy Parrish because he did go out of his way to write that book on the SG-1000, and he's admittedly not a big Sega fan. Like he did, that's not...
well, and what's neat is I think I think he has embarked on this whole journey of like going through the Sega's library, starting from the SG-1000 onward, as kind of like a way of discovering it for himself. Yeah, an exploration. And so that's kind of neat to see him sort of like learning to appreciate Sega stuff and talking about it from, I guess, sort of that outside perspective of not having rose-colored glasses. And, you know, he is a very intelligent, fair person. And so I think that his Sega coverage has been really good.
It has. And they just did a podcast talking about Toe Jam and Earl. And he just openly said, I completely passed it up back in the day because I thought that it was going to be garbage based on the way they marketed it. He's like, they were marketing it as like this, like it's hip, you know, the rap thing and the kind of, and he's just like, the way that they marketed it in the West, I didn't think that it would be a game of substance. But now that I've gone back and played it, I realized that I missed out on like a really good game, actually. And that they kind of like, they could have just sold the game on its own merits rather than like really pushing the kind of like the hip late 80s, 90s, like hip hop.
Trying to do like an MTV sort of an advertising campaign.
It was hyped to the moon. But again, I bought into that back in the day. I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the game itself was cool. And that's part of that personality that the game has, you know, is like these hip aliens. Personally, it didn't bother me at all. But I guess, they called it a rogue light. Which was like kind of like a rogue game, but not really. Like, wouldn't go so far as to call it a roguelike, but definitely like a rogue light or a casual rogue experience.
Towing the rogue line.
But yeah, speaking of, I was gonna say before we wrapped this up and left. So anyway, yeah, go check out the Sega guys. Well, it's gonna go live soon, but you can, if you're an insider for Shiro,
look out for it.
You have access to it right now. But I highly recommend you support them too directly. I was gonna talk to you guys about so this past week Dan's been playing PSO2, right? And that's the game you dump so much time into,
right?
Yeah,
that's Dan's thing.
It's got daily quests because it's kind of an MMO sort of a game. So sure, I log on and do my daily quests. I haven't had much time to play anything else because it's been a lot of church happening. Yeah. A lot of trumpet practicing for me. So, yeah, I haven't had much time to play any other games, unfortunately.
You need to do the Soccer Wars intro at your church?
No, I'm not going to do that. Although I was practicing, my dad plays trumpet with me, and I was practicing with him one day, and I got him to play the Soccer Wars theme with me.
Did you?
That was cool. He had never heard it before. He just kind of was sort of sight reading it with me, so that was fun.
I admit I'm way behind the times on this, but I've been playing Persona 5 Royal, and I've been loving the hell out of the game. I mean, I really loved Persona 4. I knew I would eventually play the game, but I was always kind of afraid because I was like, I really don't have time to play this game. And boy, is that the truth, because I've been basically having to burn the candle at both ends and stay up really late in order to do it.
Yeah.
I put in about 50 hours into the game, and then I decided...
Damn.
Well,
okay,
I put
so
in
you
like,
beat the tutorial.
So I beat the tutorial, right? I put in 50 hours in the game and then came to the conclusion that I completely screwed up and I needed to start over.
No.
So yeah,
you can't really put yourself into a hole that badly in Persona.
No, you can't. But like, there's so much FOMO going on with like, I've beaten like the third palace, and I still don't even have a part time job, and I've neglected a lot of my.
Actually late for the part time job.
There's so much to do. There's so many relationships. There's so much stuff. And when you're first getting used to a new Persona game, it's just like, almost like decision paralysis. Now I've gone back and restarted, and I found that there's so many more ways to like efficiently use my time. So I've done so much better starting over, but it is hard because I'm pretty much pressing fast forward on every conversation and like just trying to get through it so I can get myself back to where I was, but like in a much better position, because you know, I kind of want to do everything rather than I just don't have several playthroughs in me. I have like one good I'm like, where like Pat, I think he what you got 70 hours in or something like that, and then you just gave
up. I got to the Futaba's palace. I finished that one up, and then that's where I stopped it. But the thing is that I honestly, now that this PVM does 1080p, I think I want to grab my PS4, put it in here
and finish
I can't do PS4, PS3. I got my PS3 put in here and do some grinding.
Like on the original, on the vanilla Persona 5 or Royal?
Yeah, that's what I'm playing.
Oh, okay. Because Royal, man, Royal adds so many like quality of life improvements, like including.
Oh, I know
like,
that the things that I don't want to start over is
I
my
gotcha.
Thing. I don't want to start that game over again. I'm already so far into it. I just want to beat the base game vanilla, and then if I really loved it, mm-hmm. I'll look up the spoilers for Royale. Because technically, speaking, Royale is not canon because if you play Strikers, which is the sequel. Uh-huh. It's technically falling Persona 5, not Royals.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, so real quick before we name the patrons, I want to point out that we have 48 hours left in the monthly challenge on Steep Slope Sliders. So if you haven't played it yet, like me, you are running out of time to get some times up there. But by all means, mm-hmm. Boot it up and take whatever time you get. Just take a picture and put it in the channel in our Discord server and just kind of join in on that real quick. And we are not going to have a monthly challenge next month for the month of April. We're going to give everybody a little break. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been decided. So look out for what we decide to do for a monthly challenge in May.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy your April.
I'm going to scream.
It'll be definitely missed.
So Pat and I would like to stream tomorrow morning. I was thinking about doing Sunday, but then I realized that was Easter Sunday.
Yeah, that is Easter.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I don't want to do that. I was thinking Pat and I might do like a Netlink stream tomorrow. Assuming he's still good to go with that.
I should be good to go.
You should be good to go. So yeah, I was thinking like 8:30 a.m. Pacific would be what 11:30 9. I gotta be somewhere. That's the thing is, I gotta be to like an Easter related event later on in the day. So it's like,
we're on the same time zone.
We are on the same time zone. So it would be like 9 Pacific.
It'd be 8:30 my time.
9 Pacific would be what 12 p.m.
Eastern,
and that would be like UK? I don't know. The UK folks would be able
4
to
4 p.m. UK.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was gonna do a nighttime stream, and then I realized like they're all gonna be asleep. They won't, and even the East Coast would be probably asleep. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to get something going tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific. I believe Con Artist is gonna help me out with that in terms of like moderating and stuff like that, and Pat and I will. This is all very seat of my pants, guys, because I'm on daddy duty, like by myself here. Like my wife and kid are on the East Coast, and so it's like, yeah, I've been everything has just been
one of your kids. Yeah, the other kids
my,
with
one
you.
Of my kids. The other the one that needs more is with me.
The younger one.
The more needy one is with me. So yeah, it's like I'm kind of improvising everything, you know. And even then she comes out and it's like wanting to another snack. Yeah. I left a bunch of snacks out for her, but she wants me to get it for her. Anyway, so that's going to be fun for you, Emerald, right? When they get to that age.
Yeah, so Emerald Jr.'s is about to turn one. I'm trying to
right.
Take
yeah, that's believe it or not, that's easy. I never thought I would say that. But it only gets more interesting from there.
I believe you. I've seen other children.
It is fun to like play games with your kids, you know, like you got to get them into the Pokemon trading card.
I'm waiting
card.
For the motor skills.
Jesse's been playing the Game Boy Color version of the Pokemon trading card game.
Oh, that was fun.
I just have that theme stuck in my head. You know, like
you should get him into the Yu-Gi-Oh.
I have the jazz cover if you want to link to that.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah.
Hit me up on that, Emerald.
She's Captain Hodges in chat. She's not a pet, Dave. You can't just leave out snacks.
No, I like literally.
That's fair.
Like,
very fair.
So my son is 10, and he's pretty responsible and mature, and he's able to help me out with this. You know, that's how this works. But yeah, when he's gone, it's like, what do I do? I kind of have to just like hope that she doesn't kill herself. For like an hour. So no, yeah, she's fine though. She's watching Pokemon.
All right. Anyway. Well, let's thank our patrons.
Oh, wait, let's real quick. Do you guys mind if I do like one quick announcement and plug?
No, sorry. End of the show. Sure. I'm choking.
Make it happen.
Okay. Yeah. So real quick for the term or the conclusion of the 29th annual competition. I'm not going to say the whole name because it's too wordy. Everyone that wants one of those USB to serial adapters from Night of Dragon, you guys need to get me your shipping information by the end of April. Same if you want to claim your prize money and or any of the physical prizes that you might have won. So if anyone's listening to that and hasn't already sent me that information, I think like three people have sent me information so far out of the over a dozen that are, you know, qualified to get something. Please send me that information. And then we can make arrangements for you getting your stuff in hopefully a timely manner. Because the Hacks, Passage, and Translations team that won first prize does not want to try and split the control stick like eight ways or whatever, we are going to try to arrange for a charity auction, and I'm probably going to ask for the Shiro guys for support for that. But if you guys like the look of that Sega de Sanshiro fighter stick from Harman Customs, you'll have a chance to try to grab it. Probably.
Cool.
Sorry?
Once we figure, can I say cool? Sounds good.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. So yeah. That was a question. And, okay. And the last thing is just for the personal project is on Scenario tonight at midnight my time, which is in 6 3/4 hours from now, we are going to have a kickoff meeting at trying to look for what the plan is going to, well, not looking for the plan, but looking for help and support. So if you're interested in joining a team effort for a goal of a release sometime during the end of the year for next year's competition, and you have any sort of artistic skills or programming skills, musical skills, whatever, and you're interested in hearing the plan, that is going to be 11 p.m. California time, Pacific.
Just 2 a.m. Eastern.
2 a.m. Eastern. But just happens to be morning time out for the European parts of the team that needed. It's European heavy right now, so if you're willing to work across the Atlantic, we'd be happy to have the extra help.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right, I'm going to read our patron supporters, our $10 and up supporters. We got A Murder of Crows, Blue Moon 95, Casual Seth, Cerulean, he's here in the chat, in the YouTube chat, Chris Piper. We got Chris 1997 Double X, Daniel Fredrickson, David Zaney, Derek Pascarella, A Team, Emerald Nova, Fat Drunk Friend Otaku, Jam Clash or Rank, Ian Keg, Jay Hersey, Johannes Fetz, Lion Wing Publishing, Memphis or Mamdu. We got Michael Sabag, Normal Guy, Nutrageous, Robert Ramsey, Rowan Dinked, Sega Steve, Stoneman, Tanuki Trev, the Sega Guys, and Young Money Swee. We appreciate all of your guys' support. Thank you for exactly. Keeping the lights on. If you can't support us financially like that, like I always say, just, you know, join our Discord and become a part of the Saturn conversation. You can help us by sharing the streams and stuff like that. If you sub to us on Twitter and stuff, you can help us with the socials. That helps as well. But really, we just want you to
guys,
be a part of the community.
We had 55 people watching and 29 people liking. So, you know.
Nice. Yeah, so more likes, more thumbs up.
If you want to, just on the
way
out.
If you
want,
or you
get
thumbs
like
down. I mean, if it could, so.
I mean, you know, we take
you
criticism.
Hated the show.
If you hated the show, let us know.
If you didn't like me off screen, if you didn't like me talk about the BVM.
Right.
Fine.
That was actually kind of funny, though. That was a comedy of errors.
Yeah, that was funny. I even know what happened. I need to watch back. My mic just cut out and died. So now I want to listen back and see what happened in between.
Tisk. Anyway, we love all you guys. Thanks for watching. Until next
Thank
time,
you.
It's been Saturn Dave, Danthrax, and Trainico somewhere
I'm
out there in
screen,
the ether,
I'm
reminding you that you must play Sega Saturn. And
play
until
you
next
must.
Time,
Saturns.
We'll catch you later. Bye bye.